Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Super quick reminder that Friday next week, Friday the 23rd, we're going to do a show at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa over in Cabazon. If you want to spend the night before and get a good rate in the room, call them up there at Morongo and use the password FHF69, and you get a room for $69. Live show there next Friday at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa off the 10 freeway at Cabazon exit.
It'll be fun.
Victor says that he knows the bar you're talking about, Frosty, that gay bar that you went into and you didn't know it was a gay bar because you were new to town.
Downtown Louisville, Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, he says that you should have known it was a gay bar. It was called Futtbuckers.
Well, with hindsight, maybe.
Mother Futtbuckers.
Oh, God. That's fantastic. We're talking about the situation you've been in where you have to yell to somebody, no, it's not what it looks like. Sort of like Frosty's Futtbuckers bar.
Glad you got the right on the first time.
About
right?
That, don't you?
Yeah. You really do. I got a little sweaty.
It's hard.
Spit that out. But out of Nashville, Tennessee, two football coaches from a college in Pennsylvania were injured Tuesday morning when they fell four stories at a resort there.
They lived?
Yeah, they're fine. Police said
it's
that...
quite a fall.
They're messed up, though.
Two men, Scott Coy, 29, and Darren DeMayo, 23...
Scott Darren.
They're football coaches.
...were wrestling shirtless in their boxer shorts when they tumbled out of a window from a room in the Delta Atrium section around 4:15 in the morning. One guy suffered a pelvic and femur fracture. The other is in critical condition. Blah, 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 blah.
Misunderstanding doesn't look like
okay, fine.
What it is.
Let's say it is a misunderstanding. They would be in a situation where they go, oh, no, this is not what it looks like. We were just messing around. No, we have different hotel rooms. We weren't, it's not like that. We just decided to wrestle shirtless in our boxer shorts at 4 o'clock.
If we're going to wrestle, we're going to take off our shirts and our pants so you can't grab clothing. And no one's going to be grabbing boxer shorts. So
you've checked the oil a couple times. Who are you kidding?
It's going to be man on man.
Exactly. What a great excuse to be naked with somebody or half naked.
Well, so you're thinking any kind of man on man action, right. Any kind of wrestling, any kind of contact.
In a hotel room
close
at 4 in the morning?
In a hotel room?
Yeah.
No, that's not gay.
Oh, come on.
That's just machismo.
Uh-huh.
That's just macho.
You know how when you're with a girl, maybe you haven't been with her yet, but you want to be with her, and you start kind of, and it's easier to kind of just start screwing around on the floor, like take her down, rah. And then you start wrestling, but your bodies are close. It's like your excuse to be close to somebody because you're messing around.
I think
around.
I'm past the point.
Well, I'm saying not
where
now.
Where I wrestle chicks to get close to them.
Not now. But you know when you're a teenager and it'd be like, you know, you'd be horsing around, but yet you get to kind of feel her without going for it to
I'd
see.
I'd be able to hug on her.
Exactly. That's it's like, well, let's just see. I'm going to do
no.
it. And if he goes, well, dude, what are you doing, man? Get off of me, fat.
You just want the world to be gay.
Wouldn't the world be a better place if the world were gay?
Wouldn't it die off in a generation?
No. I'd bang a gay guy to get pregnant. Who cares? Wouldn't he bang me? That's the question.
Yeah.
I'd have to really butch it up.
So these guys' pants were on.
We're not dying off, people. Yeah.
Just their shirts were off, but their pants were on.
Their boxer shorts.
Okay, so it's 4:15 in the morning.
Yep.
Frank's probably right. They probably came in from the bars an hour or two earlier.
Okay.
They're still up. It's past 4 in the morning. If you're in your hotel room, you don't have all your clothes on at 4:15 in the morning. You've stripped off your shirt. Your shoes are off. Your socks are off. Maybe your pants, because you're sitting watching TV.
Uh-huh.
Maybe raiding the mini bar.
All right, so then how does
morning,
this wrestling...
knock Frank next door. We end up wrestling.
How does this
it's
wrestling
natural.
Match start? Okay, how does it start then?
A couple drunk buddies wrestling at 4 in the morning, drinking from the mini.
Oh, I could so kick your. I could so take you down. That's so gay to me. That's such
not
like
gay.
Frank.
We do that all the time. Seriously, whether we're punching each other in the arm
that's
or
different,
or then it's you know okay, it's we're gonna wrestle. It's just yes, yeah, and usually everyone's
right.
Watching you know MMA or something. You go out in the yard and you start kicking each other's asses. Now. Pretty much we have our clothes on.
Exactly. And usually
but it was like, you know, someone started grabbing a shirt and it's like, stop grabbing my shirt, man. Okay, let's take shirts off.
Right.
Let's take our shirts off.
Oh, let's take our underwear off. I don't
grab my jeans, man. All right, let's take our jeans off. Let's take our jeans off. And
hey.
So then
Hey, oh, put a condom on. Come on,
Jeez.
Right, yeah. Let's take our sacks off. Let's take our sacks off.
If they wanted to be gay, they'd be gay in the room. They wouldn't be in the hallway.
I think that's what was happening.
No, they'd be having gay sex. They'd be flying out the window wrestling. They'd be having gay sex.
In the room, yeah, exactly. But they're in the hallway.
It's 4:15. I'm gay. I want to get some sleep. Let's get it on. We're not going to wrestle around first and do this gay foreplay, as you call it.
And wrestling is probably noisy. Two football coaches wrestling around.
And if it's gay foreplay, it doesn't get so rough that we fly out the window and fall four stories to our broken demise.
Well, clearly you've never had hot gay sex, because that's possible.
No, that's not hot sex. Miss, I got to break a lamp to look like I'm having a good time. Oh, I got to pop the fitted sheets off the bed. That would just be Heidi's favorite line. But
that's true.
When you mess up the room and the bed, I'm just like, can you settle down? Obviously, you're over-the-top acting. No one has sex like this. Nobody does. And if you do, you have no idea what you're doing. You're not looking hot, or you're not any good.
Well, I've never claimed to look hot while doing it. I just know that, you know, when you're really
having convulsions.
When you're thrashing about or making somebody grab back because they're digging in because it's so good, and they pull that sheet right off the bed.
See, you pull the sheet off the bed as a dramatic
I do
effect.
It. I make it happen.
Shut up. Come here so I can just kick you right in the poon on.
Might want to get it all swole up.
I don't want to lose a shoe.
When you pull the sheet off the bed, now you got the uncomfortable sensation of a sheet that's off the bed wrapped around God knows what.
Yeah.
Look, I know, because when I get in bed by myself, all four corners flap up and I'm wrapped in a shroud, and it's not comfortable. I can't enjoy that.
You're a little cocoon.
Oh, it is.
God. Will the butterfly ever emerge? I gotta know. Seriously.
So anyway, maybe
he's a fatapillar.
Hey, it's not funny.
Come on.
Banging the wall. Oh, you popped the sheet off.
And chimes. There they are. I'll give you a chime for that one.
Oh, yeah.
888-520-9710. Maybe you've been caught in something that you can explain. It doesn't look like what it
or
looks like.
Or explain this to me. This two guys half naked like, in a hotel room at 4 o'clock. It's
just guys,
funny.
Testosterone. It's just wrestling. It's being macho.
Right, Carlos?
All right.
Yes. How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I honestly think that you guys, especially Foxy, doesn't really understand how that works. But you could be a guy and wrestle with another guy and not have any gay, like, thoughts at all. It happens more than people think.
It's kind of like when dogs hump other dogs.
Yeah.
It's not because the dogs are gay. It's domination.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to dominate you and show you who's the leader of the pack. And so when guys are wrestling, I'm going to pin you and show you who's the leader of the pack kind of thing.
I can relate to this because when you play chicken in a pool,
right?
It's not you're wearing about the same little piece of clothing that a wrestler was wearing.
That's different.
With a singlet or something.
That's different.
That's the see. This is why I brought this up and what made me think of Frosty and have that oh no moment.
Well, thank you, Carlos.
Or something that seems very gay but you're claiming isn't. And that's what this is. At 4 a.m, we all went out.
They
we
had boxers on. They weren't naked.
They had trunks on.
Frosty's was naked chicken.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
yeah.
And I'm not going to pick another guy up and sit on my shoulders with his sack on my neck. That's not going to happen. That doesn't show dominance. That shows me submissive right away, and it puts me in a position of, ew.
Right.
And again,
unless I really dig it, and all of a sudden we're splashing around. Oh my God! Look, you slipped. It's so slippery. You slipped around to the front. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Well, now you're adding things that didn't happen.
I'm just saying.
And I must state, I was not involved in this game. It happened in my pool. I was in the corner enjoying my beer.
Refereeing.
A game just broke out in front of me.
Whose idea was it?
I don't know. One of them.
Yours?
I didn't suggest it. I'd never even heard of it till then. Anyway, I'm innocent of this.
But that's one of those stories where you go, no, this wasn't gay, but it looks very gay.
But the minute naked dudes climb on naked dudes' shoulders.
You're going in the house.
I'm getting out of the pool.
I'm out.
I think they've been friends since they were children. I mean, these are guys who grew up together. They're like closest brotherly brothers.
But would you let your brother put his sack on your neck? If Johnny went,
hey, Frost, come on, we're going to play naked chicken. Come on, dip down so I can get on your shoulders.
Revolting there, but.
Well, but your brothers, you've known each other.
It's revolting there, but having some other guy's sack on his neck, kind of nice.
No, it's
interesting.
There isn't physically there. I think you can play chicken without having it physically there, can't you?
How do you sit on somebody's shoulders without having your sack on their neck?
You're not squeezing their neck with your groin. They're just up on their shoulders, sitting on their shoulders.
Come here.
If I get on his shoulders,
I'm going to pull down my pants and get on your shoulders. You will definitely feel my testicles somewhere on you.
If you lean forward, but if you don't lean forward, I won't.
What are you talking about? I'm sitting on your shoulders. Where are my boys supposed to go?
Okay, if you're sitting, just sitting on my shoulders, and you're fighting someone you're facing who has someone sitting on their shoulders, and you're wrestling. The top guys out of the water are wrestling. The bottoms,
yeah,
you're holding them up.
Right.
That was the naked chicken
game.
Yes,
yes.
Like an Olympic
chicken
event they used to play in Athens.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't think there was any contact of any organs on necks.
Where do you think your head is hiding my organs from spectators?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I'm wearing your face as pants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So where do you think, behind your head, what do you think is there?
Sort of like a fag leaf.
Look, I didn't see any organs because it was dark and I was at the far end of the pool. I just heard the splashing and giggling down there in the middle of it.
They were giggling?
Well, laughing as drunks
Yay!
Do at 2 in the morning when in the pool, splashing around. Okay, that does sound gay,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't gay at all. In fact, their girlfriends were over there with me in the corner. So
why wouldn't their girlfriends be on the shoulders? This story does not make any sense.
There's a bunch of guys around. Are the girls naked?
No, they weren't actually.
See?
No, they were modest.
Hmm. Interesting.
Nothing wrong with this story.
But see, he's got the story. No, it doesn't. It's not what it looks like. It's not gay. It just looks a little odd.
You throw the naked girls on your shoulders and let them wrestle it out with their boobs glistening in the moonlight.
Yeah.
Not a couple dudes with
airy areola.
With your scrotum collar on.
You know, because no one made a big deal of it that night. It probably happens all the time with this group. So
yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Hello, Caesar or Cesar.
It's Caesar. How you doing?
Caesar.
Yeah, you guys basically already touched on my point as far as what Frank was saying. It's just a machismo thing. My buddy and I had a rule where beat the crap out of each other.
So, Caesar, you could see yourself with your buddy. You're traveling maybe for business or pleasure or whatever. You're going to see a football game or something. And you're sharing a hotel room because it's cheaper. And at 4:15, you could totally see you and your buddy shirtless with your boxers wrestling on the hotel room floor.
I'm not that gay. But,
see, that's what I'm saying. It's one thing to be, hey, you were out in the backyard, man, it was Sunday, we're all hanging out, it was on. We just started fighting, everybody was gathering around, and we were kicking each other's asses. Okay! But not, it's 4:15 in the morning, and we're at the Opryland Resort and Hotel.
See, Heidi, if we're gay...
Right.
Then why don't we just have gay sex?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we wrestling around and doing straight machismo stuff? You're wrestling to the point that you broke a window. You went through a hotel window.
I think it could have been
4 stories in the air. You weren't planning on going through the window.
Oh,
you think the guy's getting pressed against the window?
And he's just holding on.
Yeah, because 2 straight dudes who are really gay, 2 straight football coaches who are really gay are going to do it in the window.
It was 4:15 in the morning.
They've got hotel rooms.
You
got to
shut those heavy curtains, right, Frosty?
I wouldn't know. They could go. They have rooms with beds. They could do that same thing in privacy and do all they want.
I've done it in a hotel room where there's a perfectly good bed.
Been up against the window.
But we didn't do it yet.
You've been pressed against the window?
I've been out on the thing where there's a hammock outside, and we got a perfectly good bed inside, but we're banging in a hammock, which is not easy to do, by the way.
But were you banging over the balcony? Was there a chance of you guys falling off and dying? No, you probably did it in safe areas. You were like, honey, I'm getting scared. You're going to hold me by my ankles.
But people do it in dangerous areas all the time. Some people get off on that, going, oh, I'm not going to be able to have one in the bed. That's boring. But let's go where we might get caught or we might get hurt. That turns me
on.
I don't think gay people
do that.
Oh, you know what? You already mentioned they had boxers on. Wouldn't the boxers be off if sex was going on? If they landed with their pants
maybe
on.
Maybe they were on, but the boxers have a slit, do they not?
Okay, one does, but the other doesn't, right? Unless it's on backwards, as Frank said. They'd land naked, Heidi. If there was anything kinky going on, they would have ended up naked.
No, they just pulled boxers down.
You just want everyone to be gay.
No, I really don't.
You really
do. I like being unique and unusual. I like being 10% of the population. I don't want to be the majority. That's boring.
The rest of us call it God's mistakes.
Rona, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi, guys. It's Rona.
Hey, Rona.
Hi. Heidi, I'm usually with you on everything, but this, I have a personal experience. I dated a 270-pound lineman in college,
mm-hmm,
and his best friend was a 270-pound lineman, and we were on vacation, and we came in from the pool, and they were roommates, too. And, you know, we all lived together, and they constantly would wrestle. And we came in from the pool. They had just nothing on but swim trunks. And there they go, wrestling at it. And just, it was a nonstop thing. Like, they just, who could outwit or who could outpower the other one? And there's nothing.
This is some guys do. You live in a woman's world with other
people.
Are you saying butch lesbians don't wrestle around in their underwear?
That I've never seen. I've seen a lot of stuff.
I mean, as far as like the women who wear men's jeans and have the short hair and the Oxford blue shirts on,
yeah.
They're not over there arm wrestling at the lesbian bars doing stupid man stuff.
I'm sure. I've not witnessed that. But yeah, you'll get into that, you know who's butcher and who's tougher, I would imagine.
Belching contests and they start wrestling around.
I just don't hang in those circles. All of my girls are femmy.
Bet you I can pick you up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that happens. I understand guys fighting. I've lived it. I grew up in Indiana. I know guys do the, come on, we're going to whoop some ass. And hell, that was a form of entertainment sometimes. It's like guys are going to fight, and that's what we're watching.
No, not fighting for real, but fighting for fun.
Just screwing around. No, I know, screwing around. But when you're in a hotel room in your boxer shorts, that's just
you're overlooking
away
one.
From home. They're from Pennsylvania. We're in Nashville.
You're overlooking one important fact. They're both football coaches. They're not flower designers. They're not interior decorators. They're not graphic designers.
There are no gay football players.
They're football coaches.
Yeah.
That should count for something.
What? You're saying all football coaches are straight?
No, I'm just saying side with straightness if both guys are football coaches. If both guys were florists, maybe you could give them the benefit of the doubt, or theater majors. But they're football coaches, both of them.
Weren't you a theater major?
Minor.
Oh. She's just a little gay. Not full on.
See.
Actually, I was a major. What am I saying? One of my many majors was theater. So. Give that some credit. They're two guys, guys, drunk, 4:15 in the morning.
All right.
Coach football for a living, probably big guys.
So would you be surprised if you found out Tony Dungy was gay? I wouldn't be.
Hmm.
Wish you knew who he was.
Is he resigning, by the
what?
Way? Is he resigning, by the way?
Wish I knew who he was.
Is he quitting?
Talk about a coach I know. Available. Like, really?
Is that the guy whose son just died or got killed or something?
Mm. Oh, him. Yeah. I was going to mention him earlier. Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
Tom Holmgren.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised about that Holmgren was gay. The walrus-looking dude.
Yeah, he's sort of puffy and... Okay, maybe him.
Puffy.
Hello, Peter.
You know what to do, Steve.
What's up?
Yeah, do it, please. Ringtone. Hello, Peter.
Oh, God.
Hi, Triplets. How are you?
Hey, Peter.
You guys are great. So here's what happened. My good buddy of mine and I were both involved in a jiu-jitsu class. We enrolled. So one day, one night, we were both hanging out, and we decided, okay, well, let's see what we learn. And we start wrestling and grappling at his sister's apartment, and we were going at it for like 20 minutes. So we were sweaty. We only had shorts on. We're panting, and we're sweating and everything else. And all of a sudden, his sister walks in. And, of course, you know, we looked completely exhausted, completely tired, but it was one of the most manly things we could have done.
So were you on the floor when she walked in, or were you up and just in the afterglow of your fight?
No, actually, I was on top of him.
It's not what it looks like. We're practicing jujitsu. Oh, is that what they're calling it?
I wonder how many guys have been caught sweaty and panting with one of their best friends out in the garage on a hot summer day, but the girlfriend or the wife comes back, and maybe you two have been out there lifting boards up to the, or, you know, doing some concrete blocks, move from here to there, and you got your shirts off, and you're all sweaty and out of breath. And standing right next to each other because you just set the blocks down.
Is this your penthouse forum?
Well, I'm just saying.
And you're both naked and you have erections.
Right. Oh, honey, it's not what it looks like. We were moving some particle board from one side of the garage to the other.
Frank and Tustin, you went Frosty Heidi.
We took our clothes off because it got hot.
I'm going to light up the subject from the wrestling aspect because I could never get into that wrestling at all. You know, I was hockey player and an athlete, I could walk through the locker rooms, but no way. But
you're not going to get half naked with another guy and get on the floor?
No.
But you're just going to do a triple sow cow after you goal.
I do got to tell you what happened one night. We were playing at Chapman College, and it was an off-scrimmage game, and my coach told me that one of the guys was not wearing a jock. And he said, when he gets to the free throw line, walk up behind him and pull his pants down.
Yeah.
And they went all the way to the ankle. They didn't just go to the end of his butt. They went all the way to his ankle. And the crowd busted up.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the coach knows when you have a jock on or not. Seems a little odd to me, too. Do they do a jock check?
Frank, I'm shocked you knew triple sow cap.
Yeah, you clear.
I learned it from watching you.
If you watched me, careful, you're throwing in double lutz at the end, but you didn't. I back the rest of you, 888-520-9710. How do you describe this one?
No, it's not what it looks like. Or we can move on.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
97.1 FM Talk.
In Los Angeles, so 97.1 FM Talk.
Suzanne's decided to join in on it doesn't look like it. Or what,
it's not what it looks like.
It's not what it seems.
Yeah.
So they were putting an addition to their house, and her husband and his friend were putting screws in the drywall in the ceiling of the closet. And they have the door closed, and when I walked by, they opened the closet, and both of them walked out. I said, great, my husband and his friend are coming out of the closet. And the friend said, what's worse is we were in there screwing.
Cute.
Sometimes you just need a laugh track in your own house. Well, this could be misunderstood. Do you ever lick a pole and have your tongue stick to it? God, there's an old black and white movie called A Christmas Story.
Yes,
it's not black and white.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, then it's a remake. Isn't the original old?
No, it was done in 1984.
Yeah.
Well, that's the remake. I think there's an old black and white version, I think. I'm pretty sure.
No.
Where the kids are, guys.
Yeah, and the leg lamp.
Yeah.
That's color.
And you'll poke your eye out.
Maybe they colorized it. No, there was old, like, 40s, 50s version. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, shoot.
That happens
Red Ryder BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Broke his glasses.
Same movie? Messy Marvin was the lead?
Yeah. Dog stole the turkey off the table and they had to end up at a Chinese restaurant for Christmas?
Well, I don't remember the 84 one. I just remember the original, which is some old black and white thing from 1950 or something crazy. I think that was a remake. I don't know.
You never saw if there was a remake? I didn't know there was an original.
I don't.
A Christmas Story? Yeah, isn't that? I don't know.
Yes, Messy Marvin. The little block.
Am I thinking of chocolate milk?
You're thinking of
A
Wonderful Life. Yes, Messy Marvin.
I never saw that then.
Blonde hair boy with the glasses.
No, I remember seeing the old black and white movie as a kid. I remember seeing that scene and laughing at it. There's definitely an old version of that movie where the same thing happens where, you know, the kid sticks his tongue on a frozen.
Do you too, Frank?
I said, look it up.
Frozen pole, light pole.
Right, it's the kid, it's the brother.
Right. Well, anyone who's been in cold parts of the country, this happened in Chicago, you know, it seems like why would it happen, but it does. Cold metal and your tongue on it, you instantly freeze and stick. There's no pulling off.
If you're in Los Angeles and you want to try it, just have your warm, wet tongue, stick your warm, wet tongue on an ice cube right out of the freezer. And then you go,
freezer itself, yes.
It's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
If you want to experience that feeling.
A Christmas Story was made in 1983. It was A Christmas Story, 1913.
That's the one I remember. I told you I was a kid when I saw it.
How old are you, Jesus?
Also 1918.
Okay, so, that's the one. The 18, the remake. That's the one I saw when I was a kid.
Not the 1913 version?
I think it was 18 because the bad guys were the Germans. I don't know, but I remember seeing the original.
Oh, Lord.
Now at the picture show.
Where's a nickel? A nickel to go see a movie.
I remember watching it and laughing, and outside I scared the horse. Was laughing so much.
Starring Teft Johnson and Carlotta DeFelice.
Yes, Teft and Carlotta, absolutely.
That Ethel finest, Lloyd.
Ethel, that was her finest film.
Helene Costello.
Oh, I forgot about her.
And Baby Brad Foley.
Baby Brad, right. There's a gay name. What's your name? Baby Brad.
You're going to go home with me, baby.
Anyway, it happened in Chicago. Apparently this kid, 10-year-old kid. Oh, an Indiana boy, actually in Hammond, Indiana, which is just across the border from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck his tongue on a metal light pole, 10 degrees up there. Blech. By the time the ambulance arrived, the boy had just been able to yank his tongue off the frozen pole. He says he was inspired to do it by a Hollywood movie called A Christmas Story.
Yeah. He probably saw the more current version.
Yeah, he's talking about the 1983 version.
Not the 1913 version with Baby Brad.
Probably. Police say ambulance and paramedic personnel explained to the boy's mother how to care for his bleeding, ripped tongue.
Oh, my God. Oh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Although the tongue heals very quickly. I bite mine all the time.
Yeah, that is weird. And
Crunch.
Next day it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I bite the inside of my cheek all the time.
Yeah,
it's so fat that when I'm chewing frenzy,
well, you eat fast.
There's that gristly crunch. You know, oh God, here we go. You stick your finger in there on your cheek and it comes out all red. It's like I voted in Iraq or something.
Oh, it's all burning and painful.
Do you guys think I could pass myself off as a woman?
Oh, God,
could
yes.
Could I live my life as a lady?
Not a lady. You wouldn't be you would be considered a lady.
No, he'd be like a...
No, I could.
A lady is classy, right?
That's what I do. I'd be like
you wouldn't be classy.
Yeah, it'd be like a distinguished school marmy plantation-y.
No, I saw a woman. I was driving home yesterday from work, and I saw a woman. She was walking from the bus, got dropped off from the bus, and I thought it was Frosty. It was the
really?
Exact hair. From behind, the exact walk, the hunt, the you know, round his shoulders and the sort of, you know, I walked like him when I dressed for Halloween, so I know the walk very well. And I thought it was Frosty. And I get to the light and I can where I can stop so I can turn around to see what it was that was walking, because I thought, oh my God, that is exactly Frosty. The big clown jeans, the t-shirt, the short hairdo. And I turn around and look, and it was a woman of about 60.
You know,
heavy set woman, she had glasses on. I'm like, wow, I thought that was a woman.
See,
you look like an older
there
lady.
There you go. So I could conceivably
totally
show up in some other city, say I'm a woman, change my voice a little, and they wouldn't know the difference.
Not at all.
By the way, when Heidi was dressed as me last Halloween, I wasn't going to do this, but now I will. I'm going to put the video on my MySpace.
There's video?
No, I had my video camera. I don't think you knew I had it.
Uh-uh.
You were walking around dressed as me, coming down the hall, and the video's only like 8 seconds long. But yeah. It's you lumbering down the hall, walking like me, and coming in and standing in front of the keyboard. And I swear to God, it's me. And I have that. I taped you.
I didn't know
so
that.
So I put that on my MySpace.
Okay.
The 1913 version of Christmas Story was a silent film released in the UK, so I doubt if that was it. You're thinking of A Christmas Story, 1983, but it was set in the 40s.
Yeah, it was made in the 80s, but it was set in the late 40s.
Oh, they
made
a really good job of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in black and white.
What about the 18? The 18 version, Ed speaking, didn't it? Didn't it?
No, the 1918 version were the same.
Oh.
Huh.
Maybe
you saw it in the UK, but it didn't have sound. No. Would you go to a movie that's a silent movie?
Really?
No, everyone's saying Frosty's a tard. That's not a remake. That's the original.
Then it must have happened in some
other
movie.
The guy who narrated
movie.
It wrote it, and he wrote it in the 60s about a family in the 40s.
And they released it in the 80s.
All right, fine.
They released it in the 80s.
Fine.
Confused?
But I remember seeing it when I was like 8. So that must have happened in some other black and white movie when I was a child.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have seen this when you were 8.
Someone ripped off the idea.
Came out in 83. You were 30.
Okay, fine. I stand corrected. But I remember what I saw. Like yeah. That UFO that one time. I'm standing by what I saw. If only you could crawl in my brain and look out from these eyes, you would have seen it too. From Vineland, New Jersey, comes this story. Police say a New Jersey man posed as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Got away with it for a while. Posed as an illegal veterinarian.
Oh, so, I did see a picture of this girl.
I didn't
guy.
See a picture. I was dying to know what it looked like. Because I guess no one knew.
Yeah.
Set up a phony rescue agency offering to inoculate pets and offering small animals for adoption for a fee.
Was she a real veterinarian?
No.
Oh.
No. Not licensed to do it.
I thought it was he was really a veterinarian, but acting as a woman as opposed to a guy. Because I saw the picture, and you're like, well, yeah, I mean, it would be believable that that was a girl. It's, you know, heavy set.
So it's illegal to say you're a vet when you're not.
Well, of course.
You can adopt pets, right?
Yeah, you just can't. You can't do inoculations and you can't solicit fees.
You can do inoculations.
Well, no, where are you getting the medication?
As long as you don't call yourself a vet. Go down to the vet barn.
Vet barn?
Or it's animal barn or something like that where you go down there and you can buy your own inoculations for your pets as opposed to taking them down to the vet and you get the syringes and everything. Just,
I mean, I can get my dog Bordetella and rabies and parvo shots.
Go down to the vet barn.
Don't you need prescriptions for syringes and stuff
no,
like that?
No, you just walk in and you buy it.
To anyone, they sell drugs and syringes?
It doesn't seem right, but
it
okay.
doesn't seem right. How do you know what to give your pet? The
go
vet
online.
Knows, you don't.
Yeah, you go online, it says this time, you give it this, and then go down to the vet barn.
100-pound lab mix, rabies. How much
did you pay? Do you remember how much you paid to get your dog shot?
Well, it's so funny. Yeah, just a regular old visit where they do all right, heartbeat, all right, breathing, everything sounds good. We're going to go ahead and take him in the back and give him his board and tell him. We'll be right back, $45.
Okay, so vet barn, $5. Do it at home.
Wow.
That doesn't seem legitimate to me somehow. Because I know drugs are controlled. I know syringes are controlled. You can't just walk down. Where could you buy a syringe right now legally? They don't have them hanging on the hook at Walmart. You need prescriptions to get syringes, do you not? From a doctor or a vet?
I don't think so. Medical supply store. Go down and get syringes.
Yeah, but I thought they go, prescription, please.
Well,
they
no, how do heroin addicts get needles?
Well, that's
they don't go,
black market.
Hey, I am out of needles for my heroin. Could I get a pack of 100 of those?
Well, how do people get marijuana? It's illegal, but of course there's a trade for it.
Well, yeah, so you would, I'm sure you can buy
needles.
You
need a prescription for papers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I'll go down there and get me some syringes and parvo medicine. Set me up a shop and inoculate pets.
I think that must be how people discover that you can get high.
You probably have cat leukemia.
We explain a lot. Anyway, I'm a little puzzled about this this veterinarian. So when you start saying you're a nonprofit organization soliciting, you know, donations, that's where you get in trouble, I guess. But I also assume that there was in trouble for inoculating pets.
Well, yeah.
But why the transgender part of it? If you're going to fraud, just fraud. Why act like you're a woman?
Well, maybe he wanted to go under a completely different name so that if he got busted, they could never find him. They're looking for a girl named this,
well,
and
he did,
a guy named that.
His real name was or is Daniel C. Tice. Went by the name Dr. Danielle Smith.
See, there
I can be
go.
Dr. Danielle Smith.
Yeah.
You come in there with a white jacket on and a clipboard and a syringe full of parvo shots.
Well, have a dream.
Hello, Catherine. What's up?
Okay, so you guys are a little bit confused on the shots. Rabies, you can't give. Rabies is a county-given shot, so the doctor has to give it because you have to get a medical certificate.
Maybe there's a place called Vet Barn.
You know what? I'm not in Orange County, so I don't know. But in Orange County, there's little local mom-and-pop pet stores that you can get distemper, parvo, bordetella, corona.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
At home.
I guess the rabies thing, because you have to get the little tag that says, you know, the dog has its rabies shot.
In order to get your county certification, you have to have it done by a doctor for rabies. But for the regular stuff, the distemper and parvo, that's more of a health thing. So, like, if you take your dog to boarding or you take your dog to certain dog parks, they require you to have a verification. And if you do it yourself, they're not going to accept it. Huh.
Well, you know, if I take my dog to the vet checks other stuff, you know, checks the dog areas and
oh,
this
they
and
really
that.
Just listen to the heart and look in the eyes and ears. That's all they do.
Well, I don't know what to listen and look for. I don't know.
I'm sure your dog's fine.
Jason, what's up? Jason just hung up. Jason was going to tell us, I just am told, that you can buy needles at Walmart.
Huh.
I don't
think
so. That place
really has everything. You know, tires, food, clothes, needles.
Probably can.
Well, why not? They
I've
have a
been
pharmacy
all through
section.
Walmart, never seen syringes.
You've just never been looking for it. Now the next time you're in Walmart, you'll go, oh my God, there they are. There are tons of them. How have I never seen these before?
Well, they give lip injections at Walmart. Why wouldn't they have needles?
And they shouldn't, by the way.
And Botox, the whole thing. Walmart has it all.
Anyone who shops at Walmart should not be getting a lip injection. For whatever that means. I don't know. Okay, I'm convinced. Everyone says you can get these needles, right, Susan?
Yes, you can go down to Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, anywhere, and buy them for a dollar a piece. They passed the law because of all the drug addicts. And they can go in there and buy them.
So they need clean needles. You can't, you can't make them use dirty, rusty, scabby needles.
I see. So we've thrown in the towel fighting the drug war.
Absolutely.
So rather than trying to get them off the drugs or stop the problem, oh, hell, let's make it easier to get clean needles.
Yeah, throw in the towel the drug war.
You can't
beat
them.
It's not working.
No. It's a war that's never going to be won.
That's the most recent anti-weed commercial that I've actually made me upset. Normally they make me laugh. And this one I was like, no. It showed, you know, kids saying, oh, I made my mom cry or whatever it was. And then it gets to one kid and goes, and he's got writing all over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I let people write on me. Like, how cool am I?
Right.
And I said, well, hold on a second. The people who get written on and duct taped to the ceiling and they drank too much. Don't be lumping in the internet photos of those bastards saying that was weed-induced, because that was not weed-induced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I mean, you watched CSI last night. They were talking about the serial killer and how he was subduing the boyfriend while he would kill the girlfriend, and there was no, like, you know, defensive marks. And these were big guys. You'd probably fight back, and he was getting them high, but there was something like GHB in the joint or something like that or some kind of the drug. And Grissom said, well, cannabis, there's no strain of cannabis so strong to incapacitate somebody.
Right.
Well, if Grissom said
Grissom.
It. And if Grissom said it, it must be true.
Mm.
So that commercial is a complete lie, complete crap,
propaganda.
Like it always is. That's why it doesn't work, because they don't tell you the truth.
Was it a generic anti-drug?
No, it was marijuana.
Just specifically marijuana?
Yeah.
Well, that was stupid then.
Mm.
They could use that for other pills that knock you out.
And then I do the right thing, because I'm sitting there watching this TV with my daughter, and I was like, no, it doesn't.
And then he went,
I'm like, that's drinking, honey. That's not weed.
There you go.
And defending it.
That seems fine.
Why aren't there ads airing for the other side? There's always another side with some sort of support group. Can someone go buy ads saying, you know, refuting that?
That's going to be my mission.
Like the Prop 8 back and forth?
Raise enough money.
Pro-weed commercials.
Mm-hmm. Think of how great those commercials would be. Oh,
I'm going to start making them. I am.
Good luck finding a station that's going to run it. But
I'm going to create my own.
Well, why not at this point?
Frank Kramer Television.
It's close, people. It's coming.
FKT. You're watching FKT.
FKT. I'm doing it. Thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome, Frank. FKT. I would love to be your partner.
Your t-shirt's going to be available at Morongo. So come out and see us next Friday, the 23rd, doing a live show out of Morongo. So everybody out in the Inland Empire, come out and hang out with us again. We had such a good time last time we were there, and I'm glad they had us back.
Yeah.
Or having us back.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
97.1 FM Talk.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Stick around later on today. Oh, gosh. Like an hour and 15 from now, you're all music critics, as we always kick off Friday with Stay or Go. That happened at 1 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk.
Talking about drugs last break, and it turns out those ads, you know, you see, they're, I guess, directed toward teenagers to get them to stop or never try, to scare them into not doing drugs.
Yeah.
That have always been forms of entertainment for me and all of my friends. I looked forward to new don't do drugs ads because they were great.
You were the egg in the frying pan era generation.
Yeah, when they first started coming out, the Nancy Reagan egg in the frying pan, and then the, you know,
father's
son. How'd you learn this? I learned it from watching you. And,
you all right? And I learned it from watching you.
And the son sitting upstairs, and the mom gets home, and he still doesn't have a job, and he's 45, and blowing the smoke out the window. That was classic.
He would laugh at that stuff.
Good stuff. Well, after 6 months of exposure to graphic ads showing extreme consequences of using methamphetamine just once, teenagers were 3 times more likely to think that using meth is not risky.
Are you serious?
Oh, no, I've seen those websites.
No, this is like, they're saying, yeah. But
pictures.
Did you hear what was said there?
Yeah, that shocks me.
After they see one commercial about the horrors of meth, and yeah, you've seen some of those, but after they see it, you think it'd be a deterrent.
Yes.
But these teens are 3 times more likely to think that using meth is not risky.
I don't understand how they can miss the message so terribly.
So stop making the messages. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the message, the message does work on somebody like me. If you've ever seen...
Now listen to this. Okay. Hold on. They were also 4 times more likely to approve of meth use.
What the hell?
And more likely to say that taking heroin or cocaine are not risky.
Something's got to be wrong here.
This is a 6-month... study.
Or it's a really bad ad campaign.
After 6 months of exposure to graphic ads, they just get, you know, these certain kids just showing them ad after ad after ad, and eventually they just think it's no big deal anymore.
Hmm.
Well, assuming the ads are somewhat realistic in portraying what happens to you when you're on meth, I mean, and that would be the point of the ad, would it not? How could they miss the message so terribly?
Well, they're saying about half of the teens said that the ads exaggerate the risk of the drugs.
No, they don't.
Well,
they think
like,
they do.
The kid getting ridden on.
Yeah.
That's exaggerating the effects of weed, because that's not the case. In this case, this kid was completely passed out drunk and got duct taped to a wall or got penises painted all over his face.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with marijuana, and so when a kid realizes that, he doesn't believe the rest of the ads. And so they know that you're exaggerating it to make it look worse than it is.
So you've got to tell the truth. Is the best thing to show them, but you're not doing
that. That is the truth. With meth, see, I get what Frank's saying about, yeah, you don't end up with passing out when you're on weed.
Right.
But when you are on meth and you take that pretty much becoming a meth head, your teeth fall out, you look like crap, and you die. I mean, that is the ending.
You know,
it really is.
That I think that are working, possibly, are the those anti-smoking ads that says truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where, I love the one where death is going to work. You know, and then he gets to work and takes off the cloak and sets down the sickle, and it's a hot chick with free cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Well, that's the truth. Right. And they're not exaggerating it, or people die of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving you numbers, and they're standing all out so you can see how many people. So I think maybe those ads might be working, but the drug ads always over-exaggerate, and really, I mean, the propaganda, the negative propaganda is unbelievable. So then you think, well, what are they really trying to do here? It's just
right. Although, I mean, if you've seen...
So you're going to go the other direction. If you're a parent and you're really, really super strict and super...
That's not good
a-hole,
either.
Well, then they're going to rebel and go the other direction. So really, you contradicted what you wanted to do.
Happy medium. The website, and I don't know what the website's called, but if you've ever seen it, about the meth use, when they show the before and after pictures, there's no commercial, there's no video, it's just commercials, before and after, and they tell you, this is Susan, and then this is Susan 6 months later after having used meth. And you age, like Frosty said, your teeth fall out, you age 20 years in 6 months. It can be a beautiful, young, youthful, blonde girl next door look, and 6 months later after having used meth, you see her, and she looks like a 40-year-old truck stop waitress.
But she'll never leave you.
Oh, my God. And you're just like, if that's not...
People are watching that and thinking that that's over-the-top makeup, overacting, over-exaggeration. It's real. That is real.
I mean, you're putting poison into your
body.
That
is the point. Yeah, you don't have to overact to show it.
They call these graphic ads, the Montana Meth Project. So they showed this in Montana. They said the campaign has not been responsible for reducing meth use, even though it's taken credit because they're saying meth use had been declining for at least 6 years before the ad campaign commenced. And it was launched at the same time that restrictions on the sale of cold and flu medicines commonly used to produce meth went into effect. So this means that the drug could be declining due to decreased production of meth because you can't get the stuff over the counter as easy, rather than being the result of the ad campaign. But because of the perception of positive results, at the same time that the campaign has been used in other states and been given federal funding. But they're saying these commercials don't work, but we're paying for commercials that don't work.
God. I don't understand that at all. I'd love to see the commercial number. What is there missing? Maybe they can tweak the
commercials. They're missing. They're just so over the top, it's unbelievable.
Okay, but don't kids, I don't know, but if you're a kid who's in that meth-using circle, can't you with your own eyes see people who have used meth for a year and see what they look like? And if you knew them a year earlier, you knew what they used to look like, you can, for your own eyes, in that meth house, see what happens to
but
you.
But maybe they don't look that bad.
Well, that's just that's it. I mean, thing. I think a lot of times if you are, let's say you only do it on the weekends. You know, I had a friend who's been clean from it for 4 years now, but never, I mean, got thin. But never got the bad, you know, where you would look and go, oh, my God, I never want to be that guy. I mean, he was still a nice-looking guy, super skinny, and stole cars and stole money. I mean, did really bad things to...
Crack in your closet.
To produce, you know, or to get money to buy the drug. But, yeah, I think sometimes if you do kind of have it under control, people look at it and think it's sexy. Because it's like, wow, I get really thin on it. Well, yeah, you keep doing it long enough
and
then you start...
It's who you know.
Sores and...
So you know that you used it or whatever.
Right.
And you'd see the ad on TV and you're going, wait a second. You know, I know a guy who smokes weed who happens to be quite successful.
Yes.
And you're telling me that he's like that same guy sitting in his bedroom at 45 years old, his mom going, you going to go out and get a job today? Well,
that's not the guy I know.
There's conflicting messages. So it's like, obviously, they have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And I'm not out there preaching. Go ahead and smoke it.
Right.
So who are you going to believe?
You know, you really don't see the end result of meth. Maybe your buddies start to do it, and you go down to the meth house and you get it, and whoever's able to function enough, maybe they just started on it. But do you really get exposure to the ones who are at the end of their life on it? Those
so
people are in some
pathetic.
Back room somewhere. I don't think they trot out there and sell you meth
right.
because that's bad for business. So I don't think they're seeing the actual reality.
The thing is with ads, they might work if it's like, oh, it's Budweiser, you know, whatever. Top of mind, stays in you, and you're going to go out and buy beer. But when it's moral ads, life situation ads, where it's like, think this way, where you're driving down the road, and you look up at a billboard, and that billboard changed my life.
Right. Does that happen?
How many billboards change lives?
Yeah,
no, it's going to sell beer.
Although the Kentucky Fried Chicken
didn't
work for Frosty.
It's going to let you know that, you know, a McDonald's is 5 miles up the road at the exit. I mean, oh, God, I'm hungry. I mean, billboards affect me instantly. It's not going to change my life.
Mm.
The message
that
says don't do drugs on the mint nugget in the urinal.
Urinal cake.
Isn't that silly?
The urinal screen, I always think, don't do drugs. That's not going to change my life. And if it does, I am a sad, sad person. I need to find Jesus if a urinal screen can change my life.
He's that weak.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm at the bottom. Find Jesus now.
So the history of that campaign with the urinal screens, you don't think one soul has been saved?
No,
not even one.
I don't think moral ads work.
Yeah.
What about bumper stickers? Dare to say no to drugs?
No, none of that crap works.
Put their joint out.
Stop wasting federal money trying to change people's minds with billboards and T-shirts.
Frank Kramer in 2012.
Seriously.
Or whenever. Whenever Obama's done. Might be on the
Kramer Hathaway.
still going with her.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Get complete shows now at 97.1 FMTalk.com.